message is brought to you by the friends and partners of Elijah Amusan Ministry International. Be blessed as you listen.
Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your goodness. Thank you because your word is true. Now today, again, our hearts and our minds are open to be educated, to be taught, to be instructed in righteousness. We receive your word with meekness. This word comes with grace to enrich us, to encourage us, to guide us, to lead us, and to instruct us. Thank you, Father, because we receive it with meekness of heart and will become doers of it all and not just hearers alone. And we are blessed indeed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Amen. So we're beginning a new teaching series today. It's a four-part teaching series. And I want us to pronounce it together in unison. The title of the message is Primacy of the Workplace. Somebody say primacy of the workplace. Primacy of the workplace. So our anchor scripture, let's begin first with 2 Timothy 3:16. Is a good place to start. 2 Timothy 3:16. The Bible says, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So now Paul helps Timothy to see that the word of God is profitable. And it is profitable for doctrine, for teaching, for reproof. That means for evidence, for correction. That means God's word is desired. It can be used to straighten you up. And for instruction in righteousness. So that means, I told you the word instruction there, I've said this several times, that is from the Greek word paideia. And paideia means tutelage, in education. That means God's word can provide for you a mold. You cannot approach the word of God and be left indifferent. Let me say this to you. You cannot approach the word of God irrespective of your vocation and be helpless. God's word has instruction in needs that will guide you in whatever endeavor of life that you are involved in. God's word. That means there will always be patterns to imitate. There will always be models to follow after. There will always be instruction to receive. So the Christianity is actually a faith of definite instruction. That means you cannot approach God's word and be left indifferent. You cannot have either ways to anything. There is a definite way. There is a right way to do something. There is such a thing as the ideal. God is a God of ideal. Absolute. So when you approach the word of God, you're going to see, all right, the word of God has instructions for you to follow. So today we're going to start in first and second service, and in next week we'll be looking at primacy of the workplace. And you see, I want to first give you definitions for these things. When we say primacy, what do we mean? What do we mean by primacy? We're talking about primacy of the workplace. So primacy in religion, according to Wikipedia, simply means the office or rank or character of a primate. Now you see, for those of us that came up from, what we call Orthodox Church in the sense of Orthodox, because by simple definition of Orthodoxy, every Christian is supposed to be Orthodoxy. I've done a teaching on that before, right? But for some of us who come from such background, you know that the primate is usually a title for the archbishop, right? When they say primate. So it connotes ecclesiastical respect, ecclesiastical elevation. It connotes ecclesiastical dignity. Something that has to do with the church, that has to do with the dignity, all right, of religion, of spirituality. Let's put it that way. So that's the meaning of primacy, because you might check the word primacy in dictionary, and in some dictionary they might tell you the thing you do first or something you consider first from the word prime. But here we're talking about primacy as used in religion. You know, a word can have several nuances in dictionary, true? Good. So here we're looking at primacy in the sense of religion. That means an ecclesiastical dignity. Then workplace here, we mean a location where someone works for their employer or themselves. A place of employment. Such a place can range from home office to large office building or factory. Or even because of the present world that we live in, it could even be remote works. Praise God forevermore. So that would mean by workplace. You see, one of the things the Lord spoke to me, you see, he said, son, you cannot, the way you're going, you cannot just be a pastor producing only pastors. See, let me tell you, look up. A pastor should be able to mentor people of all walks of life. Because you see, church is a school, right? But guess what? It's more than school. Why? Because you see, church is a home. And in your home, all right, if you have many children, your father should be a father to a footballer, should be a father to an engineer, to a musician, is the father of them all. Say a loud amen. Amen. And Christianity the Bible is not a specialist Christian, a specialist faith. It's a generalist. There are instructions in it that irrespective of the walks of life that you might be in, irrespective of the differences in workspace, you can stand in as God's representative there. I'll be doing a teaching, hopefully next month, on something that will bless you tremendously. I might title it Invading Babylon. Praise God forevermore. Because you see, we have to have in church, and I didn't plan to say this, we have to have in church the best in the world. Listen to me. Look up. We are not trying to compete with the world. We are going to the world, all right, to show the world the way. That's the point. And you have to get it. And if you don't get it, ask questions. Don't forget about it. Until you get it. Praise God forevermore. So you see, there are instructions in God's word to guide us in the workplace. Politics is a dirty game. All right, now, for the last 60 years in Nigeria, the Nigerian church has preached against politics, against practicing politics, against involving national issues, until we left the thing to dummies who legislate stupid laws, who legislate crazy principles. They live with dubious, unfriendly, by God's mindset. Until they came up with laws that does not fit, that does not allow us to live. Somebody in this country a few years ago at the Senate was pushing a 9-year-old child marriage. In this country. I think they call his name Yerima or something. In this country. Alright, so we try to shy away. We say politics is dirty, alright. And, you know, there was a movement. I don't have time to show you the church history in Nigeria. There was this holiness movement. And the thing is, one mistake Christian does is every movement, quote and unquote, is usually God's strategy. Pay attention. It's usually God's strategy to emphasize something that is losing its taste in the body. But the mistake is a lot of people just stay there on the extremes. So when the message of grace got popular, all right? So we have a lot of people who just stood on the edge. Ah, it's the grace of God. He is the grace. Grace, oh, grace cover. You start, you know, if I sleep with 5 girls this week, I'm still under grace. I'm not under grace. You are in disgrace. Can you see that? So we have people who try to stay on the edge every time. There was a time when the word of faith too was pronounced. You got very popular, the word of faith with the likes of Barakinet Egin. When the thing came to Nigeria, we saw people who went on the edge as well. Confess, I confess, I believe. They confess, confess, confess. Go to a property and find property. I confess, property is mine. Somebody's property. Are you a thief? I remember when I was a student there in the Bafemi Law University, there was this friend of mine in the department, all right, confessing that, you know, he likes this lady in church and all that. So he told me, I invited him to my church, and he said he has seen his wife and he's been confessing her and all that. I said, okay, so you show me. Guess what? It was the resident pastor's wife. So you see people on such extremes, and God doesn't want us to be on any extremes. Oh, praise God forevermore. Look, we can have in church sound musicians who are not singing religious songs. Because if a Davido can shut down O2, How about if you too, if you shut down O2 and it's not a Christian song you are singing? Did you hear what I said? And it's not necessary that they will be worshiping. It's not song of, you know, calling Jesus to heal you or to work miracles. Let me tell you, men have carnal needs. Do you understand? And so, as Christians, all right, we can meet their carnal needs, but with the kingdom mindset. There are several mountains of influence. I've told you, there are seven of them. Religion is one. We have family and friends. We have business. We have art and culture. We have media. There are seven of them. We have governments. Can you see that? And you see, this is the last day when the kingdoms of the world will become what? The kingdom of our God and of His Christ. So, the onus is on you to treat your workplace. Listen, let me say this. The first thing I want to make clear to you is this. There is no such thing as secular employment for the Christian. Once you are born again, everything about you also get born again for kingdom purpose. Every believer is in full-time ministry. Only a few have pulpits in churches. Others have their pulpits in their areas of expertise and workplace. There is no such thing as secular employment for the believer. The day you got born again, everything about you get born again. So the onus is on you to treat your workplace with divinity consciousness. So you see, you must realize that you have a calling to the world as a believer. And now pay attention to what I'm about to say. You see, the call of God on your life is not important because of the title, but because of the one who called you. So the title of a pastor, all right, is not superior to the call of God on your life in the assignment He has given you in the business world, if you are into business. The call of God on your life, all right, is not less if you are in sports just because you don't carry the title of an evangelist. Come on, are you listening to me? It is called primacy of the workplace. That means you must have this ecclesiastical position. You must have this ecclesiastical honor to your workplace. And I will tell you, the success you will get is not only in this earth, it will reach into the afterlife. Because you see, now you have come with the mindset, with the consciousness that, hey, I am in this thing as a kingdom representative. You have to realize that, you see, there is no such thing as secular employment for the believer. No, there is no such thing. So therefore, an assignment to be in the business space is as valuable to the kingdom as the call to pastor in the church space. I just mentioned realms of influence. Religion is just one. An assignment, all right, in the business world, an assignment in sports, an assignment in education, an assignment in anywhere of human endeavor is as much valuable to the kingdom as assignment in the church space as a pastor. You have to realize that the kingdom is bigger than church. Do you understand what I said? The kingdom is bigger than these four walls. The kingdom is bigger than church. You are a kingdom ambassador, not church ambassador. Come on, you didn't hear what I said. The kingdom is bigger than church. And until the kingdoms of the world becomes the kingdom of our Lord and of our Christ, we are still joking. We are a city set upon the hill. Upon the hill, not in the church alone. Upon the hills for the whole world to see. Praise God forevermore. There's nothing wrong being a Christian billionaire and a woman at the same time. Follow on Shalakija is an example. Glory to God forevermore. I said, glory to God forevermore. There's nothing wrong with being a royal king in your village and a solid Christian. And Oba and Wari right now is a Christian. A solid one. Not all these ones that are bearing Christian name. This one, they hope vigil. Are you getting what I'm I'm saying? Until the kingdoms of the world have become the kingdom of his Lord and of his Christ. We are still joking. So in whatever space of the workplace you are assigned, have a kingdom perspective in your consideration. Work bearing in mind that God is the ultimate boss. That is the essence of the primacy of workplace. You have to realize that even though you got an employment somewhere, you have to realize that God is your ultimate boss. So now you must see God as the one who is going to reward you much more than what your boss will reward you. So now the Bible therefore gives you an instruction. Oh, don't miss second service. The Bible therefore gives you, if you know you have nothing to do at home, don't miss second service. You don't have to. Because I'll be sharing some things. Listen, the Bible therefore has instructions for you, irrespective of your workplace. Alright, because you see, the reason why it looks like we're not dominating some places, look, let me tell you something. The reason why it looks like we're not dominating is because there are some sphere of influence that we have considered as ungodly. Example, entertainment. Alright, in my house where I live, I've been seeing them play a particular song again and again. Folake disappoint you. Something. Folake disappoint. Folake for the night. So I was just like, okay. Number one, that's first. It's a crazy thing. Somebody bearing Folake will be sad. But two, it means something. Pay attention. And you see ladies doing, there are challenges on Instagram on it. Ladies dancing to it. I say, gosh, do you know what they are saying? So the only thing Folake is useful for is the night. It's a message. Just a few days ago, you were shouting, break the bias, International Women's Day. Isn't it foolish? A few days after, you are dancing to Folake for the night. That means somebody is singing that Folake is useful for the night. If I broke now my business, that means I don't mind spending all my money in the night, Folake for the night. So that means, it's a demeaning on the female gender. You are indirectly supporting misogyny. The same thing you keep shouting, break the bias. Can't you see? I was educating some folks last year too, when they were dancing to, one boy's name, that one that does his hair anyhow, that was his name, Malia, something. And, you know, because I'm a Yoruba man, and I heard the song they were dancing to, I said, are you crazy? Can't you see? You are a lady, you are dancing to this song. This is a misogynistic song. He's calling a private part septic tank. That's what he's saying. You're calling somebody's private part, you're calling it septic. You know what is septic tank? Let me use simple English. Suck away. That's what he's calling you. And you are dancing to it too. It's like saying, my private part is a suck away. And you are dancing. That's what he's saying. Gosh. So you see, we need people to feel, and can I be honest with you? All right. People's crave for entertainment is almost insatiable. Now, if we must bring serenity to that sphere of influence, whether you like it or not, is a sphere of influence. If somebody can shut down O2, I say it's a sphere of influence. Don't deceive yourself. It's a sphere of influence. Look at sports, football. Alright, it has been proven that, alright, football remains one of the greatest way of closing sexism, religious biases, racism, because people don't care whether you are one language or another at the football pitch when they meet there. It unites people. It's a sphere of influence. What are you talking about? So, it's high time we realize that the workspace, I wish I had time to talk about, maybe I'll do another teaching some other time. So that will give you the historical background of the impact of the Protestant Reformation on the workplace. You have to realize this thing. The fathers of faith in Christianity. Go and study. You will see the impact. The man, Edward, the man who's read the, who wrote the book, the Sinner in the Hand of the Hungry God. I wish I had time to read to you quotations about his generation. They all stood out. All his generations, his children, children's children. Listen, who were the founding fathers of America that you respect today? Their constitution was written from the Bible. Don't you see me sometimes quote their presidents? I call their names. It was founded on the faith. And listen, they didn't colonize the whole world. They were once colonized too. Right now, they are bigger than their colonizer. Britain colonized them. I hope you know. Why do you think the Grecian empire, there was once a Grecian empire. Now Greece is broke. I wish I had time to talk about this to you, but that will be some other time. You have to realize this thing. Listen, look up everybody. Principles are neutral. Principles are neutral. It is the user of it that make it negative or positive. The same principles that make somebody go break a bank. It requires hard work, calculation. Don't you see intelligent movie? Somebody wants to break a bank, they will sit down, they will spend nights. Haven't you seen Prison Break? Can't you see some level of intelligence there? Some principles were put into work. They only used it negatively. So principles are simply neutral. It is the user that makes it negative or positive. How about if you learn this thing? Oh, I will teach you some of this in some other time. For example, the second mile principle. I didn't plan to say all this. The second mile principle. That anyone wants to be a success must engage this principle. Jesus taught it. He said, if somebody asks for your coat, your singlet, give him your coat. If somebody asks, he says, look, if somebody slaps you, turn the other side. He says, if somebody goes 1 mile with you, go with him a second mile. It's called a second mile principle. That means there must be something you must do extra. If other people are training for 3 hours, you do 4 hours. There must be something you must do extra. You cannot do the same thing and expect a different result from others. And I've taught you before about my best. You know, I don't play football, but I play basketball. All right, my hero is gone, is dead. He had a plane crash. That was 2 years ago, Kobe Bryant. Him and his daughter. And then I've told you this before, 2007, when Nike was organizing the first ever Kobe Bryant Skill Academy in New York. So they pack all the children from middle schools, that they will be training with the world best. Because in 2007, Kobe Bryant was the best basketballer in the world. And one of these camp staff, who is also a trainer, was privileged to be part of those that will attend that will be in that camp. So he was so happy that for the first time he's going to meet the world best. It's like you being a banker and you're going to be having a camp with Tony Elumelu. Do you understand? That's what it means. That's an example. So, privileged, he met with him. He said, would you mind if I come and watch your training in the morning? And, you know, Kobe Bryant was gracious to him. He said, okay, check me out tomorrow by 4. Say, 4? I'll be there, man. So he got there. Unfortunately, he wanted to, you know, impress Kobe Bryant, so he decided to come 3:30. But he was shocked. Kobe was there already. That's number one point. Number two, when he got there, he sat down watching Kobe Bryant. He said for the first 45 minutes, his mouth was opened. What is wrong? This is the world best. Guess what? He was doing basic drills and offensive moves. I play forward in basketball. I know what I'm saying. Basic drills and offensive moves. Those were the only things he was doing throughout. So he didn't want to out of courtesy. He did not even talk to his trainer. He just kept quiet and left. In the afternoon, he now walked up to him and said, hey, Kobe, you're the best in the world. We envy you all over the world. Why is it that just sitting down to watch you this morning, all you were doing is, and the guy said it, he said he was just doing the basic drills, but with surgical precision. With all concentration and surgical precision. He said, but why? These are the things that I myself have been teaching to middle class age in schools. You don't get it. You play basketball. That means all Kobe was doing was this, like this, like this, like this. That was all he was doing, but with surgical precision. The basic drills. Then he asked him, because in his mind, because Kobe was the best in the world, what he wanted to see, he wanted to see some new skills that the guy, you know, some stunts that the guy is moving and all that. He said, why are you doing the basic drills? Then Kobe asked him, why do you think I'm the best? Then he kept quiet. He says, Kobe told him, he said, because I never get bored with the basics. You see, a lot of people want to get into the seemingly, you know, difficult, you know, they want to learn the difficult without understanding the basics. But guess what? The basics is life. It's getting perfect with the basics. That's all you need. No matter how excellent and brilliant you are, if you forget the simple ABC to say it, you are a failure already. You can't form words. True? So you don't dismantle basics. You build on basics. These are simple principles. See, so when we're talking about primacy of the workplace, there is the aspect of you becoming, you know, positioning yourself for excellence and success, but there's also a mindset that you must have. It is the mindset of the primacy. There must be an ecclesiastical perspective. You must see it as your calling. You know, when we say God called me, the first thing everybody believes is, he's called. That means it's religion. Listen, you have a calling in the business space. You have a calling in the industry. You have a calling in computing. You have a calling in all spheres of human endeavor. Say aloud, amen. Amen. And you know the vision of this church and the mission of this church. We have been called to do what? To raise a people that will do what? In all of human endeavor. We've been called to enforce the reign of God's kingdom. Not only in religion. If there are seven spheres of human influence as agreed by most theologians and philosophers, all right. If we are doing only one, 1/7 is what? What is 1/7? No, how many percent is 1/7? 1/7 is what? That means times 100. Huh? Somebody's like, Pastor, I beg. I ran away from mathematics in school. Now you want to bring mathematics to church. Anyways, however you want to calculate it, it's failure. Isn't it? It is. That's like 20. Is it up to 20%? It's not up to 20%. 14%. Can you imagine? Even if they dash you free 30 marks, it's still a failure. Oh, say I'm a success. Let's look at instruction. Look at Ephesians 6, then we close. Ephesians 6, verse 5. Ephesians 6, verse 5. Oh, among you here are doctors. Amen. Amongst you here are owners of industries. Amen. Amongst you here are government officials. Amen. Amongst you here are the world best in your space of work. Amen. Glory to God. So now, Bible gives us instruction on how to condone ourselves in the workplace. Listen, don't forget, this was Paul writing to the church in Ephesus. So they were not only prayer people in church and tongue-talking people in church. They were owners of industries in the church. There were employees and employers in the church. So he gave instruction on how they should condone themselves in the church. I mean, in their workspace. Maybe I should repeat what I said earlier. I said, the calling of God on your life as a believer is not important because of the title. The calling of God on your life is not important because of the title, but because of the one who called you. And so, an assignment to be in the business space, in the government space, in academia, in sports, in education, in the military, in every work of human endeavor, an assignment of God into any of those spaces is as valuable to the kingdom as the call to pastor in the church space. There is church space. There is education space. Are you listening to me? There is entertainment space. There are different spaces. And only few people have pulpits in the sanctuary. Everyone have pulpits. in their different space, workspace. So the mindset you must have is, wherever I am, I must have that ecclesiastical inclination in my workspace. So he tells the church in Ephesus, he says, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh. That means obedience to your masters according to the flesh. It simply means your earthly boss. I wish I had a better translation. Can you help me, media? He says, don't walk only while being... Verse 5. Come on now, you faster than me. Verse 5. He says, slaves. The word translated slaves there, it simply means workers, like employee. Obey your human masters. Do you understand? He's talking about your boss in the workspace. Go back to King James. He says, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh. Now listen to instruction, though, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart, as who? As what? Wow. Don't let me go ahead of myself. Let's go to verse 6 quickly. I'm going to read through to verse 8. Not with eye service, as men pleasers, but as servant of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. He's giving you instruction in the workspace. Let's go to verse 7. With good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men. But I'm working on that man. But he says, do your service as unto God. That means God employed you. I say, God employed you. Even though it was a secular employment. So there is no secular employment with the believer. He now says, with goodwill doing service. He now says, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall be received of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. Bond or free, that means whether he is the boss or the employee. So now, he gives instruction from this now. And I want to give you simple biblical commands in the workplace. Number one is obey your masters. That means be a faithful employee. Be a faithful employee. Number two, be painstaking and conscientious in your discharge of duties. Be painstaking. Painstaking, I mean, be a thorough person. Pay attention to details. Don't do a shoddy job. Put in your best. Be painstaking. Be painstaking and conscientious in your discharge of duty. Let me tell you, look, rich people, successful people, let me tell you, do you know that people who are at the top there that you respect so much, do you know they are in dire need of people who will be painstaking and conscientious with their duty? Look, when I'm opportune to meet with what you literally term the big boys, and I don't mean big boys in the sense of wearing chain. You know what I mean by big boys? I mean captains of industry. Do you get what I'm saying? Almost every one of them complain about poor delivery of service. How about if you get better in that? For example, now, talk about governors, talk about commissioners, talk about owners of industry. 90% of them will complain about tailors. Come on, talk to me. Poor delivery, late delivery. 90% of them will complain about food. 90% of them will complain about, hey, this one is normal. In fact, maybe this one should be 98% of them will complain. Mechanics, automobile mechanics. All those mechanics, I don't trust them all. They have trust issues. That's why when they find apps, I can give you examples upon examples of a common barber, somebody who barbs, and just because he's very, very reliable, the man travels out to the U.S. and travels with him. Did you hear the story of Osin Bajo about the typewriter in their former place where he was working? You know, he was a professor. He was lecturing the university. There was one typewriter guy. He is not even the highly ranked, though. He was a junior staff among type, because those days, all right, typewriting was still some level of work in the office space. Those days they were using typewriting machine. He said, this guy will spend midnight bomb just to make sure he doesn't fail in the work. But the boys will be like, they are just shoddy with their job. So when one of the guys was going to travel out, they now said, send us a recommendation of anybody that will be doing typewriting work for us abroad. They recommended the guy. He had no education that would qualify him for such. And so the guy entered abroad. Did you get what I'm saying? Be painstaking and conscientious. Conscientious here, I mean, let the fear of God be your treasure. That means, let God be in view. For example now, don't stretch office privilege out of proportion. I remember when I was working with my former boss before the last place I worked. That one, he had his first and second degree in New Jersey. So, this man, where we were working, we had access to internet. And I know that MTN comes to his office, we subscribe every month. All my colleagues in the office, you know what they would do? They are not viewing movies alone, no. They would download movies. My conscience couldn't do it. Some people are wicked like that. So the man will say, boy, that's the way he talks, because he's a New Jersey guy. He'll say, my, I don't understand. Why? 1 week we're done with all the... Damn. I'll just be there breathing. Because I don't want to blow the trumpet. Later on, I'll start telling them, guy, I beg me, I know, you don't do. Now I'm going to say, what's going to happen? Or God forget that thing, your boss know they see us now. Can you see the problem? So the issue is, he has not seen his workspace as a place of his calling. Because if he did, God would be in view.
Yes, sir.
So even if your boss is not seeing you, God is in view. And can I be honest with you? I'll talk about it in second service. There is a continuous assessment going on per second. The eyes of God is roaming around looking for who is perfect towards, whose heart is perfect towards him, that he might show himself big. I'm telling you. Because God is the ultimate rewarder at the end of it all. Number three, don't render eye service. I'm just giving you principles for the workspace right from this scripture. Don't render eye service. Praise God. That means your productivity should not be determined by the presence or absence of your boss. This is church inclusive too. Let me give you an instance. Open to the book of Philippians 2. Let me show you something. Philippians 2, a scripture you all quote a lot. Philippians 2 and verse 12. Look at what the Bible says. Boy, I have just 10 more minutes. I have to run now. He says, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed. Can you see that? As ye have always obeyed. Now, don't forget, Paul was in the prison at the time. So he had workers in church. He had associates in church. All right. Who were well doing. Who were hop doing. They're running around. Doing nice jobs. Amen. When he was around. Now he's in the prison. He writes a letter to them. He says, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed. So they always obeyed. He now says, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. Wow. So they even doubled their efforts while he was away. He's asking, this is what it should be. He now says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That means the true proof that salvation has taken place in your heart. The true proof, all right, that you are born again is that when you do the right thing with little or no supervision. Because you are who you are when nobody is watching. Come on. With little or no supervision. Not that boss is coming. Boss is coming. Good morning, sir. Good morning, sir. What are you doing? You now quickly open the job you gave you since yesterday. That's why you're not trying to open the spreadsheet. You're not typing. Hey, I'm just working. You are not sincere. And you'll find people like that in church. I mean, in the office space. Maybe next week I'll be talking about, or even, okay, next week I'll be talking about this. There's something they call office politics. Like I told you, principles are neutral. It is people who use it. All these boys doing Yahoo Yahoo. Do you know it? Do you think? Do you know sometimes when I look at people who do Yahoo Yahoo, the kind of stress they go through, I'm like, if they use this stress, this, listen, they are very disciplined though. They will go to cafe. I don't know if nowadays, but those days when I was in university, I remember those days, all right, 2008, 2009, there's a special discount for overnight. I don't know if they still do it. They don't do it again. If you go to cafe centers, because those times is very hard for you to, there was no all this MTN doing data, all those. It's the server. You have to buy from. So it's only cafes that had access to internet then. And then, if you are paying 1 hour, remember the 1 hour could be 200 naira. And that was a lot of money. A lot of money. 200 naira. It's not the one that cannot buy you bread now. I could remember the kind of bread we buy now for 500. Those days, those kind of bread, they were 120. 100 naira. So imagine. So it's like buying 1 hour right now for like 1,000 or 1,500 or thereabout. But the idea is, if you're going to be doing overnight, I did overnight a lot. So you will pay 350 or 300, depending on the cafe and where it is. And even the 300 that I'm talking about is because it's in the estate. I live in an estate. That's why it's that expensive. In town, it's usually cheaper. So overnight, I will see somebody sit down. And it's Yahoo Yahoo is doing all night. And you'll be seeing them, you know, doing, you know, opening another page, you know, forming this thing, you know, changing their voice, you know. That's some skill, bro. If only they could have used that skill in the right way. So he says, the way you really truly work out your salvation is when in my absence, you do even much more than you did when I was there. So you watch people, even in church, when pastor is not around, watch how they relate and react and how they give themselves to the work of God. That's how you know an hypocrite. That's what he's saying. He says, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with godly reverence. You always obey when I was around. Now that I'm away, show that truly salvation has worked upon you. Show that truly your heart has changed. Show that truly you are born again now in my absence. Now with little or no supervision, let me see your works. Hallelujah. Amen. Then he goes on to tell you, he says, for God is at work in you, giving you the willingness and the enablement to please him. Then in verse 14, he tells you, he gives instruction in verse 14. He says, do all things without murmuring and disputings. See, these are work ethic in the office space. When you see people murmuring, at your job you'll be paid for, and but the money is small, shut your trap. The first job I got in Abuja was a 60K job. And I was living in a house of six figures. Imagine how many months I would work to pay it up. But I knew what I was learning. That man opened the way for me. It was through that man I was able to go and do presentation for PAMSEC. By the grace of God, there's almost no high-rise building you think of in Abuja that I have not entered. I'll talk about that one in second service. How to position yourself. Among all of us, the employed, even SAC one later on, I became the second in command in 2 months of employment, including his branch in Lagos. And in Ghana, 60K. And I will go back home sometimes late in the night when everybody has closed. You know, some people that they want to insist on their rights. I have one guy, he later got him sacked. Once it is 5, it's like somebody, it's like all these nursery children school. They are waiting for the bell to ring. But conscience tells you that I have not finished my work. Don't you see bankers? They are closed, but they are still inside. They must finish everything before they leave for the next day. Work ethic. Oh, hallelujah. All right, let's go on. Verse 4, number 4. Do the will of God from your heart. Let it be hearty. Let your heart, Put your heart to the work with sincerity. Number five, let God be in view so much that even if your earthly boss doesn't pay you well, God will reward you. All these principles, I brought them out from the scriptures we just read now. So now, this is the clincher. The moment you have the mindset about the workplace from the ecclesiastical point of view, what happens is it changes the whole ball game. Your yardstick for everything begins to have eternity in view. Because if God is my ultimate boss, then how I serve my boss will be influenced. Come on. Because I know that in serving my boss, I am serving the Lord. So you begin to realize that your true reward is not based on the money given you, but an eternal recompense that God gives based on your faithfulness. Have you learned anything? So a recap is this. The first thing is you must have a perspective of an ecclesiastical representative in your workspace. It makes no difference where the workspace is. I was watching, I seldom take time on all the social media, but when I do, maybe I just want to come and do something, you know, publish a devotional or something, or just put something on my, I just came on Facebook and I saw a man, the great man of God, Pastor Jerry Eze. He actually shared a particular video. I was like, which one is the man of God sharing? So, and I said, okay, let me just check it. And I checked. Guess what? He was some three people that were gisting in front of their workspace. Guess where it is? Nigerian Idol. So they were now gisting. So two ladies, one guy. Two of them were like, so I think it was an abridged convo. So that was where the video started. So that one, don't tell me you know Pastor Jerry. He said, I know Pastor Jerry now. Then the other guy was like, no, but jokes apart, that's my church. How do you think I got this job? It was because what God cannot do. The day they called me for interview, I was like, can you imagine? So there's a kingdom guy in Nigerian Idol. You still don't get the gist. It means that we can have everybody everywhere. We can have the believer everywhere, representing God everywhere. I know the name of this footballer that they said he was playing one day. I think he scored a goal and he removed his shirt. What's his name? Neymar. Okay. I hope it's not this Neymar here. All this. Remove his shirt and he wrote Jesus is Lord. Is it Kaka? Okay, Kaka. Do you see that? Amen. I said amen. Amen. Representing God on an elevated platform of excellence. Say after me, say, I represent God.
I represent God.
On an elevated platform of excellence. So stop looking at me. My own sphere of influence is religion. Your pastor. If you are not called to be a pastor, your sphere of influence is not religion. Serve in the church, fine, but don't forget. The calling on God on your life is not important because of the title. It is important because of the one who called you. Therefore, your assignment in the business space, your assignment in any workspace is as much valuable to the kingdom as if you have an assignment as a pastor in the church space. See, it's unitatera. We have church space, business space, come on, military space, government space. There's a young guy in this church, was in this school before. He has a vision. He wants to be in Nigerian army. We believe God with him. Right now, he's in NDA. And I'm looking at the general in the future.
Amen.
Can you say that? Because see, God has told me, I will raise men of repute in this assembly. Oh,
Amen.
People with influence and affluence.
Amen.
Are you hearing what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And the course is told, and I love it. Praise God. Oh, I pray for you. Kapako toko parakati kepete. Kerutu parakite pete. Kelekwate kite pete. Iluto frakwate kite likwantis kelito parakia takata. Ina kalitu fruskundrus kepeto kapatakaya. Leto marustus to suke. I galiando ko paraski atakabada. In all spheres of human endeavor, go there and dominate.
Amen.
dominate.
Amen.
I say dominate.
Amen.
Arise. Shine.
Amen.
You know, one of our stewards here in the church was chatting with me, all right. They are presently playing Nuga. He said, Pastor, pray for me. I said, don't worry. I'm praying for you all the time. Glory to God. Nigerian University Games. What's his name? Justice. Praise God. You see, in this church, I declare, say, art and culture, entertainment, business, government, religion, family and friends, in all the sphere of human endeavor, you are standing out. I say you are standing out. I say you are standing out. See, I have a godly ambition, mark my words, that in this ministry, we are going to raise a minimum of 100 billionaires. Young Gicho, before he passed on, whenever he's going out, he has some set of 50 billionaires that follows him. That means we can't run out of cash. Do you understand? All these, that's why I don't do come and give 100 naira. All right? Ask them. Go and ask Brother Paul. Ask people that are in charge of money. This church is run on partnership. Your offerings, that's how you have to step up. Your offerings, all those things, is we use it for recurrent expenditure. Buy drinks for first timers. That's what we want to buy a camera, for example, a camera of 1.4 million. The money of this church throughout the year that we could cruise out to it is 50K. Now we've given 1.1 million naira to the people. Now we are looking for 300K. And all the money. So some of you, you know, because some of you, your mindset has to change. 50 naira, 100 naira. Money that cannot buy you food. You squeeze it inside purse. If that's all you have, it's fine. Because there's a system of God's measurement of assessments, which is percentage. The woman with the two mites. She gave two mites, but that was all she had. So you cannot have 1 million naira in your account and you are squeezing 50 naira into the purse. It's not good. Change your mind. Maybe you are not even born again. And maybe I should do altar call. Because if you can spend 2,000 naira, I don't know how much you're selling shaman. I've never eaten it. If you like, say I'm a village man. I'm village like that. All right? And I'm not saying it's bad to eat it. All right? Even pizza, I've never eaten it in my life. I've bought it for people, I've never. But I know those things are not cheap. The last one I bought for someone, I think it was around 4, 5 or 5K or thereabouts. Pizza. Round like this. Inside Abina. See that thing that is round. You know what they call pizza? I know it now. But I've never eaten it. Ask yourself, how much can you feed on? If you want to, even if you go to all these local buka, I don't go there, but if you go to all these local buka to eat, if you want to eat successfully, how many of you go there? Let me, don't lie. What's there? It's a stage. Don't be ashamed. How many of you go to local buka here? All this bacha. Correct guy. Like, how much do you spend there if you want to eat? 1K. Okay, 300. Your owner. But pay attention. 300, right? But do you know there are people who have never given up to 300 naira into their purse before? They have never given up to 300 naira into their... Odogu. There are Christians who consider buying Bible with 2,000 naira as too expensive. Most of you now, your Bible is newspaper Bible. You know newspaper Bible? That one is not even about that stone. The one that Genesis chapter 1, boom, brr, chapter 2, brr. No reference, no red letters, nothing, no reference. No interlinear study, nothing. Just, you know newspaper? Like you're reading newspaper. Brr, chapter 1, brr, chapter 2. Just read like that. Verse 2, verse 3, verse 4. Continuously. No glossary. The last page is Revelation 22. You see, there's no extra page, no glossary, no word search, nothing. Newspaper Bible. Some of you is the one your grandma gave you. Shame on you. Shame on you. Huh? You see, look up, lift your hands towards heaven. Everything you find your hand to do, I provoke kaparasu tolobokote. Kimanatom brakitele festi soto. Aikalitu farastu sopreteke. Prosper in them.
Amen.
I say, prosper in them.
Amen.
I say, prosper in them.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
You know, when I was working before, all right, there was a time I wanted to do an outdoor sensitization. So it was under my office because I was the institution sales lead for my line of business. And they said, you know what, we need the music to be playing. They said, get us a DJ. Guess what? The first person that came to my mind that I put a call through was one lady that used to attend our church one time when she was a student. One DJ Coco, or what did they call her? I have to call her. So we can have Christian DJs.
Yes, sir.
Huh?
Yes, sir.
Because you see, we have demonized some work. There's a lady in this church, all right. She's not been frequent because most weekends she spends at home, but she's dedicated. She listens to our tape than most people in this church. She has a shop, a store in Abuja where she sells lingerie. You know what is lingerie? If you don't know, forget about it. Sells, and I ask her, why are you selling lingerie? He said, because he's tired of reading stories of men cheating on their wives. And because she came from a dysfunctional home, and she felt her own carnal way of imputing to bettering marriages is to sell lingerie and see truth. So she sells lingerie. She even told me, Pastor, what if I tell you I also sell sex toys? That's demonic. Whether you like it or not, some people are selling it, they are not Christians. And there are Christians who patronize them. Okay, what's the... Do you understand what I'm saying? But imagine if a Christian walks into that store now and hear my message playing. See, do you know that the respected, esteemed Reverend Chris Oyakhilome, one of the greatest inspirations he ever had that made him push through for the gospel was the day he was passing by and somebody was playing the old message of the esteemed Dr. Maurice Cerullo. Caught his attention. He stood there until the tape finished playing. Imagine you passing by somebody's house and somebody is playing a tape and you stood by and you were listening to a tape and you stood there until your heart was burning until you finished listening to that tape. Praise God. So, all those realms of human endeavor. I mean, she was the first person that came to my mind, DJ. There are DJs in Abuja, but the first DJ that comes to me was one that I know that once came to my church. So I know he's a Christian, even though he's not a serious Christian, but he's a Christian. And by the way, now you know who is a serious Christian. It's God that says. And the ones you say they are not serious yet, maybe it is the area of their life that they are still working on that they show you, that you can see. They could have been better off in other areas too. There are Christians struggling with prayer, but other part of their life, they have perfected it. So the one you first saw is their prayerlessness. So you just conclude about them. You can't write down on people. That's why church is not for perfect people. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Uh-huh. Amen.
Amen.
There is a lady, all right. One of his boys that he trained was one that helped us with Faith Life Conference setting of this thing. You know her, Hesby. All right. A senior pastor friend of mine was one that sent me a number to talk to her. They are the one that set up the instrument of the 30,000 capacity of the deeper life. They also set up the instrument of what's this man in Benue? Pastor Osai Harome. Apostle Harome. They are the one that set up the... So they set up instruments, sound. Somebody say realm of influence. You know, a big brother of mine was telling me recently, all right, he said, do you know that metaverse, we are saying nothing about it yet now. The church has not started looking into it. Do you know that Snoop Dogg has real estate in metaverse right now? And he got that for hip-hop. Guess what? Thank God, one great pastor, the pastor of Hillsong Church, he has also bought real estate in metaverse. Maybe 2 years, 3 years, that's when church will start catching up too. Why do we always come late in all these things? That's why I come with the prophetic unction this morning. And I prophesy over you. In all the spheres of human endeavor, paraka toka paka yagada, rise up. Take the mountain. Dominate. In the name of Jesus. I call you blessed. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Lift your hands and just thank Him. Just appreciate Him. Just worship Him. Just worship Him.
We know that you've been blessed. For further inquiry, counseling, prayer, and partnership, please call +234 8074 07 85 66. We celebrate you.